Good morning. Good to see everyone out. Excited to be back in the Lord's house on this great, beautiful, cool day. Start out with a letter here to read. It says, "Dear church, words cannot express how grateful we are for the support of you, our church family, during this difficult time and the loss of our mother and grandmom. Your words of comfort, continued prayers, the wonderful meal, following the service, and countless other acts of kindness will always be treasured. The family Janelle Gossage." So thank you, church, for what you did and for loving Miss Janelle and her family. I was thinking about her this week, and I thought it's not going to be right to have a church event and not have that big old pound cake. So some of y'all going to have to figure out how to make it. I know she's got a recipe that was left, but so much has changed in our church since 4 years I've been here, but God's still God, and change happens, and we have to learn to accept it and go forward. And saying that, I know we have many in our communities that are suffering this morning from coronavirus and different other sicknesses. So do you have any prayer requests you want to pray for? Yeah, Reverend John. Of course, we know there was several families this week lost loved ones to COVID and different things in our community. So I ask you to lift all of those up and pray for each one. I ask you to pray for our nation. Pray, we talked about this morning in Sunday school. It's maybe a hard pill for us to swallow, but we are to pray for our leaders no matter if we agree with them or not. It's not fun, not something we want to do, but we're, according to Scripture, we're to pray for those who are in our leaders, who are in charge of us, who are supposed to be leading our nation. So, and we don't know God's plan. We know God's plan is perfect. We don't understand it, but we are to lift them up in prayer. And it's hard, but you got to do it if you're right with God. So, and be willing to forgive. We say that this morning in our Sunday school about how Joseph was eagerly ready to forgive his brothers. So we must be eagerly ready to forgive those who wrong us. And man, following that scripture is hard sometimes, ain't it? It's a two-edged sword. So I ask you to lift our nation up, lift our communities up, our community leaders, our church leaders, our school leaders, whatever leaders are in there that we deal with. Lift them up. Remember our teachers and our children be going back to school tomorrow. Be a bunch of hurting folks. I'll have to get up and catch that old loser cruiser. Ashlyn's going to be one of them. I see the excitement in her face. I'll make y'all a picture. I do that, and the school bus driver asked her the other day, said, "You know that man's making a picture of you?" So remember them and pray for their safety, of course, from COVID and other issues that come, and pray for a smooth transition back to school. Any other prayer requests? Not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us, this blessing of life. God, we ask you that we take it and treat it as just what it is, as a gift. And that we pray for those who we need to pray for. God, we ask you to heal those bodies that's been stricken with COVID. God, those families who have lost loved ones because of the COVID virus or any other issue that has taken their life. Lord, we know that nothing happens, takes you by surprise, and you have to allow all things. And Lord, we know that you'll comfort them as only you can. God, we pray for our church in this new year. We pray that you truly send your spirit among us, that you draw us together as a group, and that you draw us together in this community, that we may see great things happen. Lord, we pray for our leaders of our nation. God, we pray that you open their hearts and minds, that they may lead according to your word. And Lord, if they don't know you, that you will draw them to yourself, and that you will save their soul. And God, they may lead according to you. Lord, we ask you to be with us this morning. Touch our singers. As we come the preaching hour, give us words to preach and help us to apply it to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
my faith. Struggles steal my breath away. My back's pressed up against the wall, with the weight of my worries stacked up tall. Too strong enough to hold it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. This war's not what I would have chosen. Do you see the future? No one knows it. There's still good when I can't see the working of your hands. You're holding it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. I'm finding there's freedom when I lay it all on your shoulders. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you.
Keith, would you lead us in prayer?
Our Father, we are so thankful that we can come to you and just cast all of our worries to you, and that you would lift us up. Father, I just thank you for this time that we are together. Father, I pray that you'd be with Chad to bring the message. Father, just open our hearts and minds to be the church that you'd have us be. Amen. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. In love, and You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Children want to go with Abby. She's not driving. She's just going to the back. No. The only downside of that is you don't get field trips. So appreciate everyone being out this morning and excited for another day. Excited to have this pulpit back, man. It's like my safety blanket. I can lean on it. And that other thing, it won't hold you up. If you got your Bibles this morning, turn to Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter 17. When you think about the children of Israel, of God's chosen people, we know that they got into Egypt. We've been studying how they got there in our Sunday school lesson. By means of, of course, God placed Joseph there. And then throughout the time, they, because of famines, they all wound up in Egypt. Stayed there for years, and it was time to come out. And as they came out of Egypt, we know they was given a promised land, And because of their disobedience, they spent some time in a place called the wilderness. Wilderness is fun to go every now and then if you like to hunt or be away from people and stuff like that. But spiritually speaking, it's not a great place to be, especially when you're wandering there. And that's where we're going to find ourselves today as we see Moses in the wilderness leading God's people. Now, you got to think about this. When we think about leading people, we think of Heflin and Cleburne County and Ramburn of leading, I think, what's Ramburn got, 409 people in the whole city or something. We think about that. But Moses was leading, they say, up to 2 million people. Can you imagine leading 2 million people? And in doing this, God allowed to show Moses some things, as you can't do it by yourself. Now, in this 2021 year that's coming up, I don't know what holds in store. I pray that we're here in 2022 and we see that the virus is gone. I pray we see that the leadership has turned to God. I pray we see some great things, but I don't know. There may be some time spent in the wilderness. And I know that we've got to the wilderness because of our disobedience. But I know that we serve a God who is willing that we make it to the promised land. We may have to be in the wilderness for a little bit, but I know the journey is sure. I know our destination, and I know we're going to arrive at the place God has said for us. But the time in the wilderness, what are we going to do? If you study throughout your Bible, you'll find that in the wilderness, there was two things that people was to learn. Number one, there was to learn who God was or is, to learn what God does for them and did for them. Number two, to learn that you can't do it by yourself. You need each other. God created us as people who need other people. And he puts them in our path. He even fashioned them in their mother's womb to be the people that we need to be together with. Now, there's very few folks that can be alone. I'm not one of them. I like being around people. Now, I used to didn't like talking in front of people, and I'm still not crazy about it, but in this position, I do. It's one of the most comforting places in my life is behind this pulpit. But now at a drive-thru is a different story. I get to the drive-thru with my family, and you get about a half of it ordered, and one of them's going to yell, hash browns, tater tots. Used to do it every time because I wouldn't let them have tater tots at the Hardee's out here. And I'd be about done ordering, and one of them yelled, tater tots, and a little girl put it on there. Although at the Hardee's, you only got what they wanted you to have anyway. So you got what was left. So they wouldn't, I don't know, man, I get off the mark so easy. But we would order biscuits at Hardee's, and we'd always get to about down there at 13, and guess what? We'd be missing something. Every Sunday. But I'm dumb. I'd keep going back through there. But that has nothing to do with the lesson, absolutely nothing. But this morning, I want you to understand as I read this that Moses was in a place of leadership. Moses was in a place of being called to lead 2 million people. And Moses was guilty of trying to do it by himself. And it will wear you out. It will destroy you. This is not just for me. It's not a pity party for me as pastor. This is for all of our leaders in our church. Maybe for our leaders of our city, maybe for the leaders of our nation, maybe whoever hears this will understand that you cannot do it alone. In chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held his hands up, Israel prevailed. And when he let it down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissa, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Father, we thank you for this word. God, we ask you today to open our hearts and minds that we may understand, number one, we need you, and number two, we need each other. God, would you lead us and guide us in a perfect way? We know you will. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We cannot fight the enemy alone. You understand that you're in a great battle. I think we forget that. We wonder why bad things happen and all these things are coming against us. We're in a war. When you go to war, people try to destroy you. We're in a spiritual conflict continually. The Bible teaches that. With the prince of this world is who we're in the war with. That is Satan. We're in a complete battle with him all the time. And you're not going to be successful without God, number one. And you will not be successful without others, number two. You see that Moses told him something here in Exodus 17, 10 through 13. He told Joshua, he said, get you some men and go out, and I'm going to take the rod of God. And by the way, do you understand that Moses had a rod before he was called to do God's business? He was a shepherd. And the rod he had was a staff. And that staff Moses used for protection of his sheep. And the rod that God would turn this staff into was what Moses would use to protect God's sheep. And so Moses said, that just as I used that rod for my sheep, I must use this rod for God's sheep. So you remember God touched the staff and it turned into a serpent. And Moses took it up and it turned back into a rod. Now, we're not going to do that here. We're not going to handle no snake. If God said to, we would, but he hadn't. And like, oh, what's his name said? I can't remember his name. He said, God hadn't, I ain't. I never can remember that man's name. But listen, he understood that he must have that rod with him. And the rod was a representation of God in his life and for his leadership. Moses understood that he struck the rock with that rod and it gave forth water. He understood the power behind the rod wasn't just because it was a rod. It was because of God it represented. So the rod represented the protection of God. So Moses told him, he said, y'all go out in battle and I'm going up to the top of the hill with a rod in my hand. And Moses knew something. Now listen, when Jewish people prayed, they lifted their hands up. They didn't bow their heads, they lifted their hands up. And when Moses lifted his hands up, he had the rod of God in his hands, lifting it towards heaven. And Moses noticed that when he would lift the rod up, that they would win. And when the rod came down, that they would get beat. And bless God, more than Moses realizing it, there were some men beside him who realized it also. And they seen Moses couldn't hold it up by himself, so they got a rock and they put under Moses. And Moses sat down on the rock holding the staff up, and it still wasn't enough because his arms was heavy. And so they decided what they had to do was one get on the one side and one get on the other side and hold up the arms of Moses. And as long as they did, then Israel would prevail. Now what about this, church? If we understood today that men cannot do it alone. What if we understood that no matter how great of a pastor, how great of a deacon, how great of a teacher, how good of a Sunday school teacher, how great of a youth leader, whatever it is, we cannot do it alone. We must stand beside one another and hold one another's hands up, and we will be successful. So they realized this. This stuff gets heavy. Even for godly called leaders, sometimes it gets heavy. Listen to this. Because he said the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, Moses understood this. He understood that they would be complete battle all the time. And I understand from reading the scripture that the church is going to be in battles and God's people is going to be in battles. But I also understand that as trying to do it by yourself, no matter who you are, it's going to be heavy and you're going to need some help. And listen, there was no way that Moses would have ever conquered this without Aaron and Hur. It would not have happened. He had to have them right beside him. Now, what if Moses would have went to the hill by himself? Israel would have been defeated. In the first battle there in the wilderness, they would have been defeated. But God didn't allow that. He sent him men. I want to tell you something. I believe God prepared these men for this time when they was born. You can say what you want to, but I believe God, he did this. I believe God put the right people in the right time. I believe he's put you here in this church for just a time as this. I know I've heard people say, well, why must we go through all the things we've been through in 2020? And 2021 ain't looking much better. And why must we do that? Do you understand that you are put on earth for such a time as this? You are put here not by mistake. And I was thinking about this. The other day I was having me a little pity party at work. And thinking about all these things and thought about, I said, man, leading in 2021 is going to be even harder. And I thought how easy it would have been to be in the 70s. There was hard times then too. But in the 70s, they say that people was being saved left and right. I've heard preachers say it was even dangerous for a sinner to stop in a church parking lot in the 70s. I thought, how easy would it have been that day? But then God put a thought in my mind, you wasn't put here for that day. You are put here for this day. And listen, you are put here for this day, and not even, you see, it's what we try to do, is always figure out why my circumstances would be better somewhere else. Well, if I could go over here, I'd have more people willing to help. Or if I go over there, I'd have this group ready to do this or this to do that. And that's not the truth. The truth is that God has placed you at the place you're in, and He's put people around you for this reason. And maybe, just maybe they ain't helping because you ain't asked them. I thought, well, Lord of mercy, that's pretty ugly. But listen, he needed help holding his hands up in battle. This was physical battle. This was not the type of battle we're going to get into in a minute. This was physical battle. There was folks fighting. There was folks being killed. I read this morning about it, and they said there was when Amalek attacked Israel, they came up from the back, and they got the weak, and they got the weak ones. They got the ones who couldn't fight, and they got the crippled ones, and they got out of 2 million, you probably had some old ones like Pat. So they got the old ones. That's the way wolves do. They sneak up and they get the old ones and get the weak ones and get the ones who cannot really fight and put up much of a fight. It's the way it always happens. But out of 2 million people, also there were some weak, but brother, there were some strong ones also. So in all of this stuff, and in battle and all this was happening, and attacking the weak, I began to think, well, it's no different than today. It's no different than today. This virus that God has allowed to come upon our land, no doubt got by sin. It happened from sin. All things bad come from sin. All things that causes death come from sin. And what does this thing attack? It attacks the weak. It attacks the elderly. It attacks the ones that's not very strong. And if you've got a weakness, brother, it finds it. On top of that, Satan is roaring. Boy, he's getting the young ones, isn't he? He's after the young ones. He's after the ones who haven't learned better yet. He's after the ones who are trying to straggling behind a little bit. The reason this is happening is because that we as God's people is not taking care of one another. Moses probably thought he could do this all by himself. Moses probably thought that he could go up on that hill with that rod. He could hold his hands up no matter how long it took. But what Moses figured out was that even when he was lifting up the banner of God, there's times it gets heavy. And you need help. So secondly, we need encouragement. I thought about this upcoming year. I told them this in Sunday school. I thought about leading this upcoming year. What did I want to quit? Did I want to give up? Did I want to continue? What do I want to do? Because you see, we can try to be as godly as we want to be, but the decision is all up to me. It's all up to you. Do we want to continue? Do we want to throw in the hat and go home, close the doors, we're being told now we can do this thing from home, although I don't believe you can. You will for a little bit, then it'll fall off. But what are we going to do? And the words that God come to me is through this year, do not discourage the people. I'm not going to get up here. I'm going to try not to. Let me say this. I'm going to try not to get up here and talk about things that are negative this year and talk about things that are this way. Listen, I believe in encouragement. If there's anybody in here that don't like to be pat on the back, would you please raise your hand? There may be somebody that's self-righteous and says they don't like it, but we as in humans, we all like to be encouraged. We must have it. Listen to what God did for encouragement for Moses. Exodus 18, verse 1 through 12. It says, when Jethro the priest, the Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, this was Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father said he was mine, help and deliver me out of the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses in the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God, and said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, come unto thee and thy wife and her two sons with her. You talk about encouragement. in the middle of a terrible battle, in the middle of what God had just brought him through, of seeing him hold his hands up and have friends that held his hands up, then God sent the ultimate encouragement. He sent him his family. Listen, church, we have to have our family. We got to have our physical family, and we got to have our church family. We got to have those people to encourage us and to lift us up and to let us see that we must go on. You read this scripture, and these Bible scholars say that there's nowhere that tells where Moses sent Zipporah back to Jethro and his children. But he had to, or they couldn't have came. So at some point, Moses sent his wife and his children back to where his father-in-law was as they was in the wilderness. And as they was in the wilderness, and God knew that Moses was going through hard times, and Moses was about to be struggling, God sent him encouragement in his family. Listen, family, you should be an encouragement to each other. You should be an encouragement. If your husband is a leader, you should encourage him. Wives, children, you should encourage him. Listen, there is enough of beating down goes on in our own minds. The last thing we need is our wives or our husbands to beat us down. The last thing we need is our children to beat us down. Listen, church, we all need each other, and we need our family to encourage us and lift us up. You want to be an encouragement to them? Do exactly what God did for Moses. Show up. Whatever they do, show up. If your dad is a high school coach, show up at the games. If your son is playing ball, show up at the games. If your wife is doing this, show up. If they're there, show up. Hey, if your daddy's a preacher, a teacher, a Sunday school director, a deacon, or whatever it is, listen, what can you do? Show up. Be a presence in there. And it's so encouraging to them. The best thing you can do to somebody in the wilderness is be an encouragement. You know what? You don't know who's in the wilderness. You don't know, spiritually speaking, who is in the wilderness. You meet people every day with a great big smile on their face. Seem like they're happy-go-lucky. Seem like nothing in the world is wrong. And inside, they are dying of depression. Robin Williams. Anybody have an idea he was suffering from depression? Seemed like he would laugh at anything. He was hiding from what was going on in his life. He sent his family. There's nothing more comforting than family. You see, we just went through a season that we are used to being around family, and we couldn't. First time in 25 years, we ain't had Stephanie's family Christmas. First time in many years, many of you hadn't had your family Christmas. Boy, our lives are all jangled up. We don't know what to do. We're in a wilderness. Listen, God at the right time will send the comfort in your family. They're the most important people to us, and He'll send them when the time is just right. Now, we have learned something through this thing. As you always learn in the wilderness, we've learned new ways to connect with family. We've learned new ways to connect with others. We've learned all these things. But one thing that's certain, there's nothing more comforting than family. Nothing more encouraging. But you see, family can also be discouraging. Has everybody in here got a family? If you do, raise your hand. Do you like everybody in that family? This is church, don't lie. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. You don't. As family, we have people that we have those that get on our nerves. We have those that gets us disturbed. We have those that seems to be lots of trouble or something like that. But the fact of it is, they're still family. And they can be discouraging and encouraging. Family do not discourage those that God has put in charge of whatever it may be. It may be a company, it may be a city, it may be a church, it may be whatever, but do not discourage them. You get somebody discouraged, you have somebody no good. You got somebody doubting and discouraged, you got a person who's not willing to do anything. You get somebody encouraged, you got somebody willing to do anything. That's what I believe churches stand in need of more than ever, and I have prayed that God just send us one little thing to encourage us. God, send us one to be saved, one to whatever it is. God, just send us one to be encouraged that we may have strength to go. Listen, and He'll do that when the time is right. We need encouragement. Number three, we need godly advice to lead the flock. Exodus 18, 13 through 23. This is hard for me, taking advice. I thought about this, and it's just hard. It says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning unto evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing thou doest to the people? Why sittest thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing thou doest is not good. What do you think about what Moses is going through his mind right now? He has already probably in his mind thought maybe he was a failure because he couldn't hold his hands up in battle. But God's about to teach Moses something. You see, Moses needed Aaron and Hur to hold his hands up in physical battle. But now Moses is in battle trying to lead and judge 2 million people. 2 million. And he sends his father-in-law and he sees this thing you're doing is not good. He says, and thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee that thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances, and law shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, a place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Godly advice. As a young pastor and preacher, one thing that you don't like for some reason is advice. Because you've got this idea that you can do it on your own. You've got this idea that people's told you if you was called of God, then you didn't need anybody else, that God was all you needed. I figured out pretty soon on that God gave these men ability and knowledge to help me. And there's nothing wrong with godly advice. And listen, Moses had a choice here. He could take the advice of Jethro, or he could go about as he was be going and trying to lead 2 million people on his own accord. Could you imagine what he must have been going through? He was completely worn out, and his father-in-law saw it. Listen, leaders, I don't care if you're the youth leader, the deacons, the pastor, the Sunday school teachers, whoever you are, if you're a leader in this church, I want to enlighten you of something. The burden is too heavy. It's too much. There comes a time when you must realize that it's okay to delegate some things. D.L. Moody said, I would rather put 10 men to work than I would do the work of 10 men. You see, we've got in our minds that because of the time we live in, the busyness of people, and because I'm the one that gets paid to lead the church and this, we come up with a million excuses, then I must do it by myself. That I must, if there's a problem that needs to be filled, then I must fill it. If there's a vacancy in the church that must be filled, then it's up to me to fulfill it. If there's a problem that needs to arise, then surely I need to be the one to straighten it out. But Jethro saw it was wearing Moses out. And listen, I don't care if it's me or any other pastor or any other deacon or whatever. If one person tries to do it alone, my friend, they will wear out. They need help. It took Jethro, this godly advice. And the hardest thing for a leader is to take advice like this. Because you think you have failed. You think, well, if God had called me, I should be able to do it. You ever think that God might have called you to lead people to be able to do it also? Do you ever think that maybe God put you in the position to open the door for somebody else to get a blessing also? Do you ever think that God may have put you in a position because it may be new to you, but you may not be that great at some things? And God has placed people in your path that are great at some things? I begin to think about my own self, and it gets hard when you think about your own self, because we think ourselves is the best they are. You ever heard the song from Kenny Rogers? The little boy was out in the field playing baseball by himself. He threw the ball up, or the rock up, or whatever it was, and swung and missed three times. It was time to go in. It was getting dark. So on the way home, the little boy said, I didn't ever know I could pitch like that. We're the best they are. But the fact of it is, they may be ones better. And I thought about my own self, and I have to put things on simple matters to make it simple to me. We play volleyball on Sunday nights. If you hadn't been here, we have some good times. And there's times that somebody can get mad at you if you're not careful. But what I've thought about on that volleyball course, and I've tried to improve it myself, and I ain't doing a good job, is when it's my turn to be on the back row or be on the front row, I find myself all over the court. You know why? And it's not true, but to me it's true, that I think I can do every one of them places better than whoever's there. And I'm not allowing anybody else to do their job because I'm there. But you know what? Most of the time when I run up, the ball goes behind me. Or I run forward, or whatever the case is, or run back, it falls right over the net. So if I could stay where I'm supposed to stay, maybe we'd have a better team. But we try to control the whole court. That's some of our makeups, some of our what God put in us. Then we have some that has a theme song, I Shall Not Be Moved. Y'all just have to come play volleyball with us and understand what I'm talking about. But seriously speaking, lastly, I put this, and I think this is what Moses would say. I need help. There I ask for it. As a man, the hardest thing to do is ask for help. If you got any kind of pride about you, it's hard to ask for help. Exodus 18, 24 through 27. Listen what happened. It's amazing. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons, the hard causes they brought to Moses, whatever small matter, they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart. He went his way unto his own land. God sent Jethro to show Moses that Moses needed some help. And then Moses took the godly counsel and thought about it and prayed about it. And God come and Moses come up with the idea that Jethro's right. I need some help. And then even after this, you'll see on in Numbers where Moses realized it was still too heavy. He needed more help. Believe it or not, there's people that God placed in this church or at your work or wherever it is that you lead for your help. You know what they're waiting for? They're waiting for you to ask them. They're waiting for you to relinquish some of what you do and to give them an opportunity to do what they need to do. As I thought about this, I began to think. Moses was responsible for all them people of Israel. I'm responsible for all the people of this church, however many or not, or however you want to think about it, my responsibility. So I think, and we think, we need to keep our hands on every little thing. And because of this, there are people that God has placed with abilities to do great things that are not getting the opportunity to do them. Now, we've been teaching, we so dumb to believe that the reason we don't have people step up because most people don't step up and volunteer because they don't think there's a place for them. As I studied and thought about this, begin to see that God has placed just the right people around us with the right abilities, with the right personalities, the right talents, the right amount of time, and everything. And Moses taking Jethro's advice, he opened the door for these men to serve. These men had a desire probably to serve God. But they thought that Moses was the leader and surely Moses wasn't going to relinquish any of this. Was Moses' responsibility? But Jethro told him, he said, Moses, you handle the big things, which are spiritual. things of God. You allow people to handle the small matters that God has given the ability to do so. And if you read more of that scripture, it'll tell you that after Moses accepted Jethro's advice, things was easier on him and the people was at peace. No longer did they have to stand and wait all day for Moses to judge them, a decision about their matters. They had men that could do that, and everything worked out much better. You see, in the wilderness, you need God and you need others. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. Matter of fact, it's a sign of just the opposite, of admitting that maybe you can't do it all, that maybe you need help. This is a different sermon than I usually preach. It just felt weird even preparing it. But the title of it was, "It's Going to Take Us All." We don't know what's coming upon our nation. We don't know what's coming upon our churches, upon our communities. We're under new leadership. We're going to pray for them. We're going to lift them up to God, pray that God changes their hearts. But we may have to spend some time in the wilderness. There may be some great battles come upon this church. Maybe some great battles come upon our state, our nations, our cities may have great pressure put upon them. Men of God may have to take a stand as they've never took before for this thing to be legal. Remember, we're not going to try to get discouraged. We're going to try to encourage. The encouragement I want you to see today is there's help right beside you. There's help right there. You have people in this place that love you and that care about you and that is ready to help. And this 2021, I'm going to go ahead and ask you. I need some help. Because I've thought about leading this year. And I come up to like Jehoshaphat. I talked about Wednesday night. Jehoshaphat was a man of God. Jehoshaphat was a man of faith. But Jehoshaphat also said to God, "I do not know what to do." And that's where I stand. I don't know what to do. Seems like things is out of control. But may I tell you, it ain't in control of God's hands. He's got it all in a perfect plan. But this upcoming year, I need your help. I need, if you want this church to be what it is, then I need your help to be what it can be. You want this city to be what it can be? You see, the worst thing you can do is complain without a solution. If you got a solution, then you might have a complaint. But we are so guilty of complaining, and we don't have a clue how we could fix it. Not only do I need your help, deacons need your help. Derek needs your help. These Sunday school teachers need your help. These other leaders in our church need your help. I pray that God opens the time, opens the doors for those to help. I'm going to ask godly advice this year. I've already got a person on my mind that I'm going to try to contact and see how to better do things. You say, "Well, that don't sound like much." Well, it may not. But that's godly. That's biblical. Jethro was there for Moses. I believe there's people there for each one of us. If you would stand in closing today. You may be in a wilderness yourself. Maybe going into the wilderness. You may be one of the ones that's coming out of a wilderness. But I want you to know one thing for certain. In that wilderness, there are battles. In those battles, you learn that you need God. Without Him, you're nothing. And you will learn that you need other people to help lift your hands up. You need other people to lift you up for no other reason, lift you up in prayer. But you need sometimes them to stand by your side physically and help you up. Don't be afraid to ask. Moses had to do it. You may be here this morning. You may not know Jesus. There ain't been much of a salvation message, but it's always there. I pray if He's drawing you this morning that you say yes to the Lord. You may be in this church and God's put something on your heart that you need to be doing. whether it's here or out in the community, maybe bigger than that, maybe smaller than that. Would you say yes? Leaders, you can't do it all alone. I can't do it all alone. We need help. Yes, God's there. His power is available. But He puts you in this church, in this community at such a time as this. Would you say yes in 2021? Let this be the year. You see, I think for too long, we've tried to do this thing on our own. We've tried to figure out how that we can do it. Can we get this man who's better at this? Can we get this that's better at this? Maybe if we all got together and everyone pulled his part, maybe we would be what God called us to be. What about you today? You may have something in your life that's separating you from God, something that's keeping you from doing what you think it is you're supposed to do. The Bible says if we'll confess it, He's just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said He'll throw it in the sea of forgiveness as far as the east is from the west. That's how far your transgressions will be forgiven. Come to Him today.